Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn to the book.
I'm going to read the first three verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in thankfulness for the Word of God that we have before us. We thank you for freedom to preach it freely. We're thankful for this group gathered together.
Thanks, Lord.
We want to praise your name today for your kindness to us, your blessings to us. Give me a freedom and Eve to preach that only you can give, and I pray that your Holy Spirit will take your word and touch every heart and life in here. And I ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure whether I remember it or whether I remember what I was told about it, but my grandmother Kincaid used to tell me Bible stories all the time. So I knew Bible stories very, very early. I also remember that she knew how to spank, and she used a switch from a trumpet vine. It grew right out beside the porch. And when this little boy didn't do what she wanted him to do, she broke off that trumpet vine and switched my little legs. She was a good lady. She was a sweet Christian lady and loved the Word of God, and so she taught me. One of my favorite stories was Jonah. You know, I am known as a hard-headed preacher or a hard-headed, stubborn person. I've been called that. I'm nothing like him. Now, you talk about a hard-headed preacher. You say, God uses hard-headed people. Yes, he does. And here's one of them.
Thank you, Lord.
Here's a guy by the name of Jonah. God gives him a message. He said, Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, said, Go to Nineveh, that great city, maybe the greatest city at that time, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come upon me. But Jonah rose up to flee. Jonah said, I'm not going to preach where you want me to preach. Now, you talk about prejudice, you talk about nationalism, you talk about hating other people. He did not like the Ninevites. These are the enemies of the Hebrews. These are the people that are going to come down and punish them and kill them and haul them off and do all sorts of things to them. Jonah being a prophet of the Lord. Oh, by the way, this story is one of the most attacked in the Bible. They say Jonah never even lived. Well, you can read about him in Kings and what he did. And by the way, when they excavated Nineveh, they found a great big monument to Jonah. Nineveh. Got something? This guy decides, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. Is that a thought that's ever crossed your mind? Oh, yeah. Oh, we were born rebels. We come out of the womb crying.
Amen.
We've been fussing against our parents and against our bosses and against our teachers and against everybody. Our whole life, we are rebels. We really are. Some of us are worse than others. Jonah must have been one of the worst there was. God said, Jonah, you're my servant. I want you to go preach to Nineveh. And Jonah says, no way. And so he gets up and goes down to Joppa and gets on a ship to Tarshish. I believe Tarshish was in Spain, about as far as you could go. I'm going to get away from the presence of the Lord. So he gets on this ship, and he thinks he's got it made. He goes, and he gets down below the ship, and he goes to sleep. Well, the sailors, they take off, and they start out heading towards Tarshish. And a great big wind from the Lord. Bible tells it, you know, sometimes those winds come from God. A great big wind from the Lord took a hold of this ship. And I mean, these are seasoned, professional sailors, and they're scared to death. They said they're going to break this ship up. We're in the worst storm we've ever seen. They begin to throw things off of it. They begin to lighten the ship. And then they began to try to row and to do anything they could to possibly save their lives. And Jonah's down in the bottom asleep. They went and gathered him up. The captain of the ship went down and said, "What are you doing sleeping? Get up and call on your God." Why? All the other guys were calling on their gods. Now, I don't know who these ship fellows were. Sailors are known to be a rough company. Among all the military, sailors have a reputation of being rough company. Let me tell you what, professional fishermen are pretty rough company too. But these guys are sailors. I don't know where they came from. They came from over there, somewhere else. No telling how many gods they were calling on the top of that ship. Jonah walks up there and you know what he sees? He sees this fella calling on this god and this fella doing something different to another god and this fella doing something to another god and it's doing no good. And they said, "Who are you? Why are you here? Why has this stuff come upon us?" And he just gives them a straight, honest answer. "I'm a Hebrew. I'm running from my God. And this has come on you because my fault." How about that? Why don't you confess your sin that quickly?
Amen.
You know, you'd do a whole lot better for yourself if you just get up, be honest, and tell people what you are.
Amen.
Instead of trying to hide, especially trying to hide it from God. Now, you can hide it from me. You can't hide from God.
Right. Amen.
He said, "What can we do?" He said, "Throw me in." Remember, the guy wanted to die. He did not want to preach to Nineveh. He said, "You throw me in, the sea will become safe." They picked him up. First of all, they prayed. They rowed and rowed and rowed. They didn't do any good. And then they said, "Oh, Lord, please don't lay this man's blood on our hands. We're going to cast one of our people out in the midst of that sea out there. We really don't want this to be on us, you know." And they threw him in. Jonah said, "Okay, this is the end." No, it's not. Now, there's a lot of controversy over this because of the big fish. But if you read in Matthew, Jesus says the big fish was a whale. And you say, "Well, a whale has too small a throat." It says God prepared a big fish. You don't think God can prepare a whale big enough and an air passage that he's got him an apartment riding around like a first submarine? God can do anything he wants to do. And if you want to argue about it, it's Jesus that said it was a whale. No, the book of Jonah just says big fish. Jesus is the one that says a whale. And by the way, it's a type of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's a pretty important story in the book of the Word of God. Jonah is dropped down there, swallowed by a big fish. I don't know if he ever saw the fish. All of a sudden, he drops into that turmoil of water and he's down in his prison cell. I don't think he had a television. I don't think he had a workout room. I don't think he got some sunshine. He's down there wrapped up in seaweed and gastric juices, maybe. Oh, man, that sounds like a bad. 3 days and three nights, Jonah was in the belly of the whale, and then he repented. And he called on God, he said, from the belly of hell, because he was way down in the deeps. And God heard him. And when he called on God, you think you can get your prayers answered? Why not?
Amen.
If God can hear Jonah from the belly of a whale, in the depths of the sea, don't you think he can hear you from where you are?
All right.
Yes, he can. God heard him in the heavens and told that fish to get up and spit him out. And he did. He come up and vomited Jonah out on the shore. Now, I don't know what Jonah looked like before he went into the water, but I bet you he was a mess when he came out of it.
Right.
He had to take a whole lot of seawater to get himself cleaned off so he could go preach to anybody. God said, second time, "I'm telling you, I want you to preach to Nineveh, that great city." This time he said, "Yes, sir." Do you think maybe he learned a little bit of his lesson? Yeah, maybe so. "Yes, sir." And he went off to Nineveh. Now, they tell us Nineveh is so big that here in Jonah, it tells us it has 120,000 people in it that cannot tell their right hand from the left hand. I'm assuming that's children. If you got a city with 120,000 young children, you got one big city. And by the way, walking across it, it was a 3 days walk. These guys were used to walking. They didn't have motorcycles and cars, and a whole bunch of them didn't even have burros. 3 days walk across it. Some archaeologists think it might have been the biggest city in the world at this time. Boy, it's a great city. Let me tell you what. I have known a lot of evangelists in my day. I've been preaching over 55 years. And I preach in a lot of different churches and a lot of different places. And I've known a whole bunch of preachers. Most ever preacher I know, even the toughest one, gives a positive message about salvation. Not this man. You know what his message was? A real simple message. 40 days you're going to be destroyed. He walks to the next block. 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And he walks to the next block. 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. In 3 days, he walked across that city. And people repented. Heathen people said, whoa, this God of the Hebrews. They put on sackcloth and ashes. They covered the animals with sackcloth and ashes. They fasted themselves. They made their animals fast. You know what? God heard them. God heard the men of Nineveh repent of their wickedness and pray to Him. So Jonah sits outside the city waiting to see what's going to happen. 40 days comes, and they're spared. Jonah gets mad. He didn't preach any positive message. He didn't say, if you'll repent, God will. He's mad. You talking about a stubborn preacher? He's mad. He's mad at God. And when you get back over there in the fourth chapter, when he's talking to God, God said, are you mad? Yes, I'm mad. He tells God, I'm mad. Well, what are you doing being mad for? I created these people. I got 120,000 that don't know left hand from right hand, and you want me to destroy this city? According to what I'm reading, some of the archaeological studies, it saved the city of Nineveh for 167 years before it was destroyed. That's a revival. Woo! I don't know if the Bible tells of a greater revival. I don't know that I've seen anywhere that many people got converted so fast by a preacher that did not have a positive message. His message wasn't positive. He hated the Ninevites. He did not want them saved. He did not want the city saved. He did not want to preach because he figured his preaching was going to be effective. How about that? How about believing in your preaching? I'm not going to go there because they'll have to listen to me. And they did. And it made him mad. And he's mad at God again. Well, it's one of my favorite stories. I love it. As I said before, if you want to check on whether or not Jonah was a real prophet, a real man, well, you all you have to do is check the book of Kings. You'll find him in there. He's a prophet after Elisha and before Isaiah. He helped out certain kings with his prophecies, so he's in the actual histories. But an even better thing for you to know if the book is true and real and honest is the Lord Jesus Christ. These people come to him asking, say, we want a sign from you. These Jews. We want a sign from you. Jews are always looking for signs. Greeks are always looking for wisdom. He said, there'll be no sign given to you but the sign of the prophet Jonah. As he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be. And by the way, the very next sentence that Jesus says is the Queen of the South. she rose up and traveled all the way from Ethiopia to hear Solomon. He said, a greater preacher is here than Jonah and a greater wisdom than Solomon. And you're turning it down. Oh, tremendous story. Several points I'd like to make out of this. The very first one is, you can't run from God. Some of you are probably sitting in this room today. I don't know why God gave me this message. But some of you sitting in this room today, even maybe just in your mind, are running from God. You decided that you can do what you want to do, or you don't have to do what God wants you to do. And who are you?
Amen.
Look what happened to Jonah. Now, nothing that expressive might happen to you, but you know, I don't know. I've seen some people get themselves in a real fix. Have you?
Amen.
You ever met anybody that got in a real fix?
Amen.
I've seen them all of my life. Things you don't know how they come up, and you don't know how they're going to be resolved. You can't run from God. What's your best thing to do? Repent right now.
Amen.
Don't wait till you get in the whale's belly to do your repenting. Do your repenting when God points out your mistake. Who are you to tell God, I'm not going to do what you want me to do? Just who are you?
Amen.
You might have been the most rebellious kid in your family. I don't know. You may have walked away from a whole lot of things and you stood up. Hey, you're talking about God. The God that made the land and the sea and the heaven made you. Has all power, is all seeing, is everywhere at all times. You know, you wouldn't do some of the things you do if you realized God was in the room.
All right, amen.
You don't run from God. Nobody gets away from God. Jonah thought, I'm going to Spain, the biggest, furthest city I can possibly find. So he got on a ship and paid the fare thereof. And God had a storm for his life. And that storm put him in a whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. You don't run from God. Biggest mistake you can make is to do what Jonah did. Know the will of God, know the word of God, and then run from God. Now look, if you will, at chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1 says, Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Verse 2 said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. You know what gets us to praying? Affliction. Why is Jonah all of a sudden, Lord, I might change my mind. He's in a whale's belly. I can't think of a worse place to be. I can't think of anything that would blow my mind. I mean, you know, you talk about blow your mind. You're going to throw you into the ocean and you're going to drown and die. You don't have to worry about anything because it's all going to be over. No, it's not over. A big fish swallows you and now you got more troubles than you had. I don't know about you, but my wife makes me throw the trash out and burn it very often. She doesn't like the smell. What do you think happened to his smell? What do you think he felt like? Seaweed over here, something else over here, fish guts over here. By reason of my affliction, I cried unto the Lord. God can get your attention.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I may not be able to get your attention. Your wife or your husband may not be able to get your attention. Your parents may not be able to get your attention. God, when He decides to, will get your attention.
Amen.
Don't run from God. Don't be rebellious from God. This man cried unto the Lord in his affliction. Now look at verse 7 of chapter 2. I want to show you an example of real repentance. We have repentance almost daily. And it's almost a mental thing. And sometimes it doesn't do us much good. It does us about much good as New Year's resolutions. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. When my soul fainted within me. You'll get God's attention when your soul faints within you. Most of our prayers are pretty light. Most of them don't have any real burning desire behind them. Most of them, we don't really put our attention to like we ought to. God had this man's attention.
Amen.
He didn't know he was coming out. He's in a place nobody else had ever been before it lived. Tell about it. When my soul fainted within me. Have you ever been there? I've been there. Boy, I know how to pray then.
Amen.
The words just come.
Amen.
They just come. They flow.
Amen.
They don't quit. You don't even sleep. When my soul fainted within me. When I got saved, I had an experience like this. I didn't get caught by no big fish. My soul fainted within me, though. And I remembered the Lord. I wonder how much real repentance there is in the whole country today. I don't know. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. God can hear you from anywhere. I have a couple of friends in my life that are preachers or were preachers. And God heard them in jail cells and prison cells. I know of people that I've been with in a hospital bed, given up for dead, and God heard their prayers. I've seen people look like they were dead. I thought they'd never live. I didn't think they'd get off the table. And they're walking around. God can hear your prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
My oldest son was taken down by spinal meningitis. And he couldn't talk. It was just a jabber. Blah, 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 blah. But when he got well and he got out of it, he said, I heard everything y'all said. I understood it. I was trying to answer you. People are talking all around him. And he's here, supposedly in a coma or great trouble. He understood everything. Changed the way I go into a hospital. Changed the way I talk in front of somebody that looks like they're comatose.
Yeah, exactly.
Changed the way I tell them how to pray. I say, if you can hear me, God can hear you.
Amen.
If you can hear me, God can hear you. God can hear you today. I want you to know, God can hear you today. People get saved at 5 and 10 and 15 and 25, and I've seen them saved at 85. You can get saved anytime. You walked in here today, maybe by chance. Maybe by a simple invitation. Maybe you were just passing by and walked in. Well, there's church today. I'll go and go to church. God brought you. And God told me what to preach.
Thank you, Lord.
God can hear you. You got a controversy with God? You got an argument with God? You don't like what God's doing to you. You don't like what you're going through, whether it's physical or financial or some other kind of thing. You can talk to God.
Amen.
You don't have to talk to me. You can talk to God. God can hear you. God will hear you. That is the beautiful thing. Jonah walked all the way through Nineveh and never told him God would hear him. What he told him was, 40 days you're going to be destroyed. 40 days you're going to be destroyed. That's his whole message. That's not my whole message. My message is God will hear even out of a fish's belly. In the depths of the deep, God can hear. How in the world can God deliver somebody from such a thing as this? He can tell the fish to get an upset stomach and vomit him out on the shore. Pretty close to where he got in the boat. And now then, instead of going east, he's heading west. Instead of going west, he's heading east. Excuse me. You know what else he said? Verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. You want to know something? Nobody else can save you.
Amen.
Did you notice the verse right before that? Take a look at it. The verse right before the one I just read. Jonah got a great lesson. Now, Jonah is a prophet of God. He knows the Word of God. He knows the will of God. He has served God over a number of years. He's famous enough to be listed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. One of the best known names, even because of all the criticism. I wonder how many heathen he had ever seen worship. Have you? Probably not. When I go to worship, I go around Christians. I see the variations of the Christian church. And I see a little bit of the other out of the paper, out of books that I read, or out of some people that I know. When he was brought up on that ship, he saw this one praying one way, this one sacrificing another way, this one doing it a different way, and they're all clamoring and getting no results. Look at that statement in that verse. They that observe heathen vanities forsake their own mercy. He got a lesson. God gave him a lesson on that boat. I mean, it's something I don't think he ever got away from. If you're worshiping false gods, if you're following some sin that's going to lead you down the wrong track, if you're serving your cistern instead of the well of the water of life, you forsake your own mercy. Who can give mercy? Almighty God. Anybody else? Not much. Who can deliver from the depths of hell? Just God. Who can make the fish do his bidding? None of those false gods could. They couldn't stand up and say to the winds, peace, be still. They couldn't say to the waves, peace, be still. And they'd be at their appointed destination. God can. He had a time to think about that while he was down there 3 days and three nights. And he said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There's your proverb. You run after the foolish things that cannot save you. You live for the things that cannot deliver you. When your trouble comes, you have no help.
That's right.
You have no help. You need the Lord God Almighty, the God that created the heaven and the earth, the God that spoke it into existence, the God that can be everywhere at all times. You need Him now.
Amen.
And you don't need to be going counting beads, looking at pictures, praying special prayers,
amen,
fasting and crawling on your knees, crying. No, 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 no. You need to call to the Lord God of heaven.
Amen.
Because He's the one that can deliver. There's another point I'd like to bring out. How much Jonah knew about God. Look at chapter 4 and verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He's complaining with God. Everything's done. The revival's taken place. God has decided to show mercy. That 120,000 little children that can't tell their left hand from their right hand, they're safe. They're going to grow up, get to be old folks, have their own grandchildren and whatever. It's done. He's sitting outside the city. And he's got a controversy with God. I told you, this is a hard-headed man. God calls some hard-headed people to do His will. He said, I knew you were going to do this. I knew. That's the reason why I didn't come. The reason why I didn't go. I knew What did he know? God's a gracious God.
Amen.
Full of grace. You know what grace is? Unmerited favor. Blessings upon you that you don't deserve.
Right.
Kindness when you're too stupid, stubborn, sinful, wicked, wretched, ignorant. Grace. I think of the grace that's followed me all of my life. I think of all the things that did not happen to me that could have happened. I've had some bad enough things happen, but man, I've been in a lot of places when a lot of worse things could have happened to me.
Right.
And they didn't. That's grace. How about slow to anger? Aren't you thankful God's slow to anger? Aren't you thankful He's not like you? If God were like you, you'd have been swatted like a fly a long time ago.
Amen?
Right. Amen?
Amen.
Slow to anger. Plenteous in mercy. He knew God. Now, actually, if you want to check, it looks like he's almost quoting Psalm 86:5. Because it says about the same thing. And how God is merciful to all them that call upon Him. That's what I believed when I got saved. 55 years ago, I didn't know a lot. But what I'd heard was that if a man repented of his sins and called on God, God was a merciful God, that He would save him and forgive him. And that's what I did. God struck my heart. My soul fainted within me. And I confessed my sins and called upon the Lord, and He saved my soul. He can do that for you today. You talk about a great preacher. Jonah is a great preacher. For the experiences he went through, nobody else like it. For the revival he had, biggest I know of in Scripture. And he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, oh, how come he's a type? Jesus quotes him in the New Testament as the type. You can't say that's not a type. As Jonah, you want a sign? As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And a greater than Jonah is here.
Amen.
I may be talking to somebody on the road to hell today. You can be saved. You don't have to believe me. Just believe the Word. What is Jesus talking about? He said, I went to the cross of Calvary. I suffered there. I shed my blood. I went into the depths of the earth. 3 days and three nights, I conquered death, hell, sin, and the grave.
Amen.
And I came out of it on a Sunday morning to give salvation to all that would call. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. It worked for me. It'll work for you. Oh, my Christian friend, don't be stubborn with God. I don't know what God's got in your heart. I don't know what burden you have. I don't know what anger you have today. I don't know what burdens that you're carrying, but bless your heart. Go to God with them. Today's the day. Right now. You may not have a tomorrow. You may not be resurrected as I have been. You might get sick and die. Why don't you call on God today? Jonah knew Him. Jonah knew Him. Jonah knew what kind of God He was before he went to Nineveh. Before he went into the whale's belly. Before he got on the ship to run to Tarsus. He knew Him. And he tells you about it in his own book. He says, this was my saying before I knew you're a God like this. Why don't you respond to a God like this? He's the same. Yesterday, today, forever, He's the same. He's provided a way to save your soul, to forgive your sin, and to change your life. You can walk out of this room today, change.
Thank you, Lord.
And my Christian friend, you can walk out changed too. Whatever burdens you're carrying, I don't care what they are, whatever sin you have, whatever rebellion you have against God, you can lay it at His hands. You can call upon Him. And He's provided that He can save you from everything that you fear. Let's stand and sing number 231. We'll sing it through. This altar is open. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, I personally believe that the Lord had me preach this message. And I believe there's somebody here that was supposed to hear it. Why don't you respond? This altar is open.